It's rolling.
We're rolling.
All right.
Let's do it,
What's
dude.
What's up, buddy?
What's up, man?
Hey, everybody. Thanks so much. Welcome back. It's Parishioners Podcast. It's just me and Kevin Lyons today.
Hey, buddy.
It's just some of my favorite times when it's just one-on-ones, man.
Yeah, those are, like, sometimes you just get really cool conversations when it's just two people trying to talk over each other instead of three.
I like it a lot. I like it a lot. But if I had... When I have a different guest every week, though, I also like having a co-host here because sometimes you'll think of shit to ask that's a really good question, you know, just to have each other's backs. I think a co-host is always good.
Dude, I love co-hosting with
you. Yeah, man. Well, so Kevin's back.
I'm like your wingman.
Kevin wasn't here last week.
No. Nope.
We'll talk about that in a second. But yeah, we had my buddy Brandon Lozier on last week. You missed it, Kevin.
Oh, man. You were telling me he was really cool. Stunt guy, right?
Yeah, stunt guy. He currently works in the Waterworld show. He's the guy that, like, they hang upside down and dump in the toxic waste thing.
You can explain all you want. I feel like an idiot because I've never seen the Waterworld show.
You've never seen the Waterworld show?
I go to Universal all the time. I've never gone
really?
To the Waterworld show.
Why? It's like my favorite show there.
I don't know. I just like rides. If I just have to sit and watch something, I'm like, well, I'll just go watch Waterworld at home.
Oh, it's pretty awesome. It's not even that long. It's only like 20 minutes, 25 minutes.
Cool.
When we go, which we're going.
Oh, yeah. That's one of the things that I've always just wanted to do. Because, like, the park is, like, it's pretty big, but it's easy to go do everything.
It's not as big as most theme parks, though.
It's like one of those little hidden gems that I want to save for when I'm kind of bored with Universal and I want to go see something I haven't seen yet.
So that's what you're saving Waterworld for?
I'm saving Waterworld.
I've seen Waterworld like 100 times, but he told me they changed it a lot, and I haven't been in a long time, so I want to go check it out. And I've never seen it when he was working.
I'm actually protesting Waterworld because they took the Back to the Future right away. And I'll never ever
That's
be able
not
to
why.
That. I know, but I'm just saying, just for the fact.
That's not where Back to the Future used to be.
I know. I'm just saying because Universal took away the Back to the Future ride.
Then you should boycott fucking the Simpsons ride. That's where the Back to the Future ride used to be.
But the Simpsons ride is fun.
Really? I hate the Simpsons ride.
I enjoy it. It's kind of fun.
You know what? I get car sick, and that fucking ride almost made me throw up a couple times.
Really?
Yeah.
The Simpsons ride?
Yeah.
Well, that would be an appropriate ride to throw up on.
Well, it's not even like a ride. It's not like you move. You're just in a car that moves. It's like a virtual ride. But like it just, I don't know.
Back to the Future ride was?
Yeah, but that didn't make me throw up. Maybe just because I like Back to the Future, I guess.
Probably, dude.
But anyway, yeah, dude. And then like my other buddy, who also works on the Waterworld show, is the guy that does the. Well, you never seen it?
I never seen it, but I do want to see it. I was joking when I was saying I'm protesting the Waterworld. I do want to see Waterworld. It's just when I'm there, there are things that I definitely need to go see when I'm at Universal, and I can't. I used to be an all day Universal guy, but now I'm just like, I just want to get my favorite rides in and get out.
Well, we're like Southern California fucking residents, bro.
That's right,
like, if you live here, you should have like an annual pass.
Because it's right down the street.
Yeah,
it's like 10 minutes away.
It's not like Disneyland where you have to do math and go like, okay, if I go four times in a year, it's worth it to buy the whole year. No. It's buy a day, get a year free. So,
well, a season free.
Because
you don't get a year. It used to be that you get a year from they used to have an affordable price.
Yes.
Where you could buy a ticket and it expired from the year that you bought it. But now it's not that. Now it's only like 6 months.
Now it's like if you bought it in April, it'll expire in December 31st.
I got ours in June for Esther's birthday, and it expires, I think, in either February or March.
Oh, really?
So
you don't get, like, a whole year.
No.
It's just,
I mean, well, it was actually, that was pretty close to
I got
a
year. I just got the silver pass, so Ooh. That one is a year.
Yeah.
So you get July 25th, so it expires July 25th that following year. I don't know. You got to ask Jen. She got it for my birthday.
I know you can upgrade, too.
Sometimes, there's a gold one, too.
Yeah, sometimes, because all I care about is the no blackouts. And what it used to be is you could pay your regular price and get that season, but then eventually when you come back and you don't want to do blackout dates anymore, you can just pay the difference of the ticket, and then you just wouldn't have blackout dates anymore.
Yeah.
But now it's just so tricky.
The one that you got, the basic one has a lot of blackout dates. The silver one doesn't have as many blackout dates. I have like more days that I can go than you do.
But what was kind of cool, because last time that I renewed my pass, not the time that I have it now, last time, they gave us so many blackout dates where it was just like, like the only time that you could go would be on like a fucking Monday, you know, I work. I mean, and every weekend up until my pass expired was a blackout date, and that's the only time I go. And I was so mad that I wrote them a nasty review I wrote them a nasty review on their Facebook page.
Oh yeah.
And then they responded back and like, send us your email like so we can double check your blackout dates. And then shortly after that, we got an email back saying almost everybody's blackout dates have been updated.
So oh, you nice.
Could have, yeah. So you could have more things, but even
you helped like, everybody out.
I tried to. Hey, it's just me being a dick, but it's just I love Universal. But like one thing, if you're gonna have a lot of blackout dates, they should give you like at least two forgiveness days where it's just like, hey, listen, you can pick two blackout dates where you don't have to pay the extra price.
Or even one.
Yeah, even but now they did that, but you had to do it before August 6th.
That, they should do something like if it's a blackout date but it lands on your birthday.
Yeah. Like they used to give you like guest passes. Yeah. I never get guest passes anymore.
I used to get guest passes too. I can give it to a friend
That's how I got the first time I went to Universal was with you you gave me a free guest pass.
That was the first time. I got a whole year and then I was able to bring a friend for just the day.
Yeah.
But that's what I'm saying. Like, if you live here, you might as well have one. Yeah. Probably, you can just go whenever you want. Like, you know, sometimes you're sitting around the house and you're just like, hey, what do you want to do today? Want to go see a movie now? I was like, want to go to Universal? Yeah, what the fuck not? We'll go to the Jurassic Park ride and then that's it. We'll cool off and get wet. You know what I'm saying? That's like, it's like the same thing. It's like what I say about Los Angeles. You have to have. Oh, did you hear my neck just pop?
Yeah, your neck pop?
Yeah.
You're getting so stressed out about your blackout dates.
No, in Los Angeles, you have to. If you live here in Southern California, you got to have a Universal pass and you have to do some kind of entertainment. Just get an agent.
Yeah.
I don't care. I just told my buddy today who's never done stand up, never done acting, never even once had an interest in it. And I go, like, bro, why don't you get a commercial agent? He's like, I'm not you. He's like, I'm not an actor. I've never had any interest. I'm like, bro, just fucking do it. Like, I go, why live here?
It's not extremely difficult.
Why do you pay like $1,500 a month rent for a studio to live in Los Angeles if you're not going to be in this business?
Well, the thing is, I mean, like.
Or have a Universal pass.
Yeah. One comes with the other. If you get a commercial agent, you automatically get a Universal pass. But the thing is, it's not incredibly difficult to get a commercial agent because I mean like usually theatrical agents they want a lot more acting experience and reels but like commercial if you have a good look and you can get away with saying a couple of lines sometimes people will just take a chance on you and there's so many different commercial agents out there
anyway. And you just you know you could cast it for whatever. You ever see commercials and like the actor just sucks? That guy just made like $20,000 plus residuals.
Absolutely dude.
Otherwise I'd move, bro. But anyway, this is a crazy intro.
I love it.
But yeah, I haven't. We'll just start the fucking podcast. Anyway, guys, this episode is brought to you by BenefitPackages.com. BenefitPackages.com is a health insurance agency. If you guys are in the California state and you don't have health insurance, you need to call them. Okay, they're gonna make it a lot less complicated for you. It was a crazy fucking week for health insurance this week. Did you see in the news?
No,
what the hell happened?
I've been under a rock the last week.
Like Anthem Blue Cross just like. Basically pulled out of fucking all the major towns. Like Los Angeles is gone, like everything. But they're
only surprised.
Tiny. Dude, they're like so like hundreds of thousands of people are gonna lose their insurance and have to switch to like a. I mean, they won't lose it. They'll get another insurance company, but maybe they can't go see their doctor anymore. So it's like pretty fucked. But if that happened to you guys, if you have Anthem Blue Cross, just so you know, at the end of the year, it's going to expire. Hit up Benefit Packages. They'll help you find a plan that's similar. Maybe even keep going to your doctor. Or for any reason you're losing insurance, those are the guys to hit up. If it's open enrollment, you guys can go apply for insurance. But if it's not open enrollment, you can't. But there's ways around it, and these guys can help you. They'll get you all signed up. Possibly you qualify for free health insurance. Possibly you qualify for highly discounted. And you never know, guys. So just hit them up. It's 1-800-356-3615. Talk to a person, and they'll get you all set. 1-800-356-3615, and you're going to tell them that Parishioners Podcast sent you, and not only are you going to get their services for free, but you're also going to get a free gift, like two free movie tickets, or instead you could choose a Starbucks gift card, and all of that is from going to BenefitPackages.com or calling 1-800-356-3615 and telling them that Parishioners Podcast sent you.
BenefitPackages.com.
Yeah, you just wrote that jingle.
I just wrote that jingle for them.
Anyway, guys, it's Parishioners. It's me and Kevin Lyons. We're going to have a fun one-on-one podcast.
Woohoo!
Let's do this.
Let's do it, Roddy.
All right, this is an oldie, but, it's an oldie where I come from. All right, guys, listen to some blues riff and B. Watch me for the changes and try and keep up, okay?
All down in New Orleans. Sing it, Kev.
With the wisdom on the evergreens. Scootled all cattle, made of earth and wood. We lived a country boy named Johnny B. Good.
This is the first song I learned how to play on guitar, man.
And the last.
Yeah. It's so funny, too, because, like, I was so obsessed with this movie. I used to rip up my cereal boxes to make a guitar, and I took my dad's fishing line, and I would just, like, make my own guitar, and I would just rock out to the scene over and over on the VHS.
You know what I did that to? I did that to, you know those longer tissue boxes?
Yeah.
Like Kleenex tissue boxes when they're done? Those are, like, perfect. They already got the perfect oval hole cut
that's
in.
Like, that's like the banjo. That's like the banjo version
yeah.
of the ear.
It's
guitar.
A banjo, yeah. And then I would take rubber bands and tape them instead. It'd be more of like a fong. Well, listen to this!
Look at him rip, dude.
Aw, yeah.
I learned how to play this whole solo, like, that's what I did, man. As soon as I got a guitar, man, that was the first thing I needed to learn how to play.
Right?
Oh, yeah.
This is just a badass, epic scene in any movie. I mean, like, he's living his dream right there in that moment, and he's living everybody else's dream while they watch. And welcome to Parishioners Podcast, people.
I guess you guys weren't ready for that, but your kids are gonna love it,
dude. Right before you got here on Saturday, mm-hmm. Tom Tram was here.
Oh,
he had a show in Long Beach, so he had to take off. But he was here, and he was talking about like this new bit that he was working on.
Yeah,
and he was saying how easily influenced he is by like documentaries and movies and stuff. So he's like, if you watch like a documentary about like, you know, how certain foods are bad for him, he just stops eating them like as soon as he watched the documentary, like he's so influenced. We were saying like, what's other funny things that he watched, they started doing? We're like, you watch Back to the Future and all of a sudden you want to bang your mom.
No, it's the opposite. You watch Back to the Future, all of a sudden your mom just wants to bang you for some yeah, reason, so and you're fighting it off.
Dude, it's
so funny. Isn't that funny that's why Disney, that's the only reason Disney didn't want to make Back to the Future when they're first shopping around. It's just like everybody else is just like, you guys are too kiddy and too innocent. And Disney's like, this is incest. We don't want to make this movie.
Wait, so the dude makes out with his mom. And, it's a little wild, but it worked out.
But anyway, man, dude, it's great to be back here.
Yeah, it's good to have you back. I haven't seen you actually since my birthday party. We had a little party out back and a little barbecue. You came by.
Yeah, man.
It was a lot of fun.
I always love seeing your parents.
Oh, right.
Like, whenever I see your mom and dad, it's just great to sit down and talk to them. They're such great people, man.
A fly just landed right on my face.
And your dad told me, he's like, you know what, man? You are my favorite Augustino friend.
That's what he said?
Yeah.
That's because you get him weed. dude, you left right at the perfect time. I got fucking hammered.
Oh, I heard Anton got hammered too.
Did he tell you that?
And I heard it was just tequila all up in your face night. That's why I'm glad I left
He doesn't usually drink tequila too, huh?
No.
Well, we killed that whiskey bottle that he brought me. And then my brother-in-law showed up, and he brought a fucking, like, two bottles of tequila, and we were all just doing shots. And we ran out of whiskey, and Anton was like, fuck it, I'll do tequila with you guys. But Anton seemed kind of okay to me. Maybe that's because I was just so drunk.
It's weird. Yeah, you have to get to know him. I mean, like, when he gets shit-faced, he gets very slurry. Very, very slurry. But, like, it's like him
but
and my
speaking
girlfriend.
To another drunk person, it just sounds normal to me.
Yeah, it's like Esther, man. Like, dude, if Esther drinks, like, she does not slur a single word. And it's just like, it's just the behavior that lets me know, like, all right, yeah, she's drunk. But they can just talk completely fluidly without messing anything up. Me, I smell a beer and I'm like, hey, blah, blah, blah. You know what I mean?
Really?
Like, that's me. That, dude, like, I won't be drunk, but I have one sip of alcohol and just like, it just loosens me up and I just start slurring and I don't care how I talk.
Yeah, like dude, I got too drunk that night. You didn't want to see that side of me. It wasn't like I was an asshole.
You're explaining it like, did you turn into a werewolf or something? Like, what's going on?
Like, I was asking questions like in front of everybody publicly, like to my other buddy Rusty, that probably was personal stuff.
Have you ever had hemorrhoids? Like, what kind of?
No, like he told me like on the side that later that night that like his girlfriend is just like fucking moving out of the state, so he's just like, I guess we're kind of gonna break up in October.
Oh,
and
shit.
Like he kind of told me that, and like in front of everybody, I was just like, why? What the fuck? And then she was there, and I was just like, why the fuck are you doing that? Like, I was just saying that. And she's like, well, I want to be closer to my parents and all this shit. She's like, my dad's not doing that well. And I'm like, well, so what the fuck's he supposed to do?
Yeah.
Like, I probably shouldn't have been saying that in front of everybody.
That's that tequila, man. Tequila gets you, dude.
Yeah.
That's, I can't drink tequila because, not because of the drunk it gets me, it's the next day I get so sick.
Yeah.
Like, my stomach is turning, and that's the only thing that makes me feel
really?
Like that. Yeah, tequila.
I usually drink tequila. I drink tequila a lot. I got like 3 bottles in the house right now. But the problem with last Saturday, as I was mixing, whenever I mix, I'm fucked. I was having fucking IPAs and then whiskey and then back to IPAs and then tequila and then sipping on IPAs and then a root beer float.
that sounds like a fun party, but I'm kind of glad I just stayed at home and watched The Ozark.
Oh, how is that new show?
It's actually pretty good. Sorry. I just feel bad because whenever I start watching, it's like late at night and I fall asleep through like 4 episodes. And then I'm like, wait a second, how many episodes are there? Yeah. I got to go back.
I can't do new shows at night.
It's pretty cool. It's pretty good. I like it. Some of it's slow, but it's definitely one of my favorites from Jason Bateman.
Yeah. Didn't he just get a star on the Walk of Fame like a couple days ago?
Jason Bateman?
Yeah.
I don't know.
I think he did.
We should go celebrate for Jason.
Sure.
Here's to you, Jason.
I heard you got to pay like a $30,000 fee to have your name on the
Wait, you have to pay $30,000 to get your name,
Someone told me that you actually pay to have your name there. And I went like, wait, so it's not like they're honoring you? And they're like, no, you have to pay. And then I went and Googled it, and it actually, they are honoring you. Like, you have to be chosen. The committee has to nominate you, and then everybody has to vote off on it. And then once you do, there is a $30,000 fee that you have to pay.
Damn.
And half of it goes to like the city of Hollywood, and like half of it goes to the committee to keep it going. And then
okay, that makes sense.
Yeah, I mean, I guess that's fine. But like, there's a couple of actors I was reading that don't have a star because it's been offered to them several times, and they just go like, I don't want to pay $30,000.
Are you serious?
I think George Clooney and Jennifer Aniston was one of them.
Really?
Yeah.
Don't they have like the most money?
Yeah, why couldn't you? Yeah, Jennifer Aniston, like, you can't donate like $1 million to Hollywood after all they gave you and fucking just use it as a tax write-off?
I mean, I don't want to say money's easy to come by, especially if you're rich. But I mean, it's just like everybody else is dropping $30,000. The chances are, if they invite you to do a star, you can probably afford $30,000.
Right, of course.
But it's still a shitty price.
Except for Daffy Duck.
He has a
star.
You're despicable.
How many people do you think that were on the committee with at the same time Donald Duck, and they were just like, should we do Donald Duck, or should we do like?
Do you think they were actually expecting a cartoon duck to walk down? All of a sudden, they see a voice actor come down.
Yeah, I know. It probably was like the guy in the suit, and then, like,
where's the cartoon? We saw Who Framed Roger Rabbit. We know they're real.
Yeah, if I was the voice of something, I would want my name to be on the star, not the fucking character that I do.
Yeah, that's super cool.
Whatever, bro.
Whatever.
We are officially recording in our new studio here for Parishioners Podcast.
Hotboxing it.
Yeah, we're hotboxing it. So I have this garage, I guess you could call it.
It's definitely a garage. I don't know what was so confusing about it.
It's a garage, but it's like, it's bigger than a garage. There's like this whole like workstation area off to the side. Yeah. And I mean, it's been back here in my backyard, you know, and it's just been used for storage, and it's huge. So I've actually started to, I fucking cleaned it out, taken all the trash out. And it's not done yet. I mean, we have an AC unit in here that's loud as fuck, so we still have to turn off the air conditioner to record. And it's like hot in here, but I mean, it's a work in progress. So I'm really excited about this. We're building a bar in here, so we're gonna actually be sitting at a bar
while we record the
podcast.
Man.
We'll do some live podcast streaming videos.
What better way to guarantee that I can be here every podcast if
there's a bar? Yeah, dude, get a mini fridge. I'm gonna put I'm gonna make it look like a nice like real studio in here.
Yes, man, you know I'll help out. Just let me know what you need me to do, as long as it's not difficult.
Yeah. This is our first time. We're trying to see, like, it's just me and Kevin. We're trying to see, like, if we can invite guests in here, how hot it will be to make a guest sit through this.
We are the guest. I'm the guest guinea pig.
How loud the air conditioner is, which it was loud as fuck, so we had to take it off, turn it off. But anyway, yeah, man. Kevin wasn't here last week because he was covering Comic-Con, and then when he got back from Comic-Con, he had so much footage that he had to edit, and it had a deadline.
Yeah.
So he just
and we're still doing it, too. It was, like, split up into two episodes.
Oh, you guys still got working on shit?
Yeah, I mean, what's cool about it is because we've been doing the Too High McFly has been doing our YouTube page for a while. We're reviewing movies. We do it with you with On the Rocks and Film Brew and our own short films. And we actually entered a film festival for our first short film put on by the Famous Monsters of Filmland, that magazine since the 1950s. And they moved up north, up to San Francisco. And so we submitted to them, and they had us up, and we had such an awesome response up there in that theater. Like, it was really cool. And all the people there were really cool. And then after a while, I mean, we were just always constantly communicating with them because they liked what we were doing. And so they reached out to us and asked us if we wanted – they invited us down to Comic-Con to help them cover it, like, for video-wise and do some corresponding and stuff. And, like, are you kidding me? It was, like, a dream come true. It was, like, holy shit. Because I love Comic-Con, but I've never been, and I love filming, and I do that all the time. And when I get to mesh the two together,
yeah,
it was just fucking so cool. But we got so much footage, dude, down there. It was insane. Like, we got enough to make, like, two short films. Like,
really?
Yeah. So that's why I've been disappeared. I've been editing with Dan and Anton.
So what are you guys still working on?
They got so much footage, they split it up into, like, two different episodes. And so, because they have their own segments, and so we did a bunch of segments, too, just interviewing cosplayers and different – we got to interview the cast at MTV's Teen Wolf. The new sci-fi show Ghost Wars with Vincent D'Onofrio and Meatloaf. We got to meet Vincent D'Onofrio and Meatloaf. They were fucking rad. It was just so cool. And all that stuff, man. We just – like, we had so much B-roll footage, just, like – just footage of just walking around Comic-Con and all the different things. Yeah. But it was just, like, so cool because we were there Tuesday night. We got in there Tuesday night, and we left Sunday morning. And through that entire – dude, we were working that entire time, filming that entire time. Throughout that entire week, the amount of time that I had to myself to actually go enjoy Comic-Con and get stuff was about 45 minutes. Because, like, dude, as soon as we got there, we were filming all day. Me and Anton were jumping on camera, both running around. Dude, am I wearing those sneakers? Yeah, dude, check out the bottom of my sneakers.
Oh, shit, they got all worn out.
They got all worn out, all the way down to the sole. We had a Fitbit with us. Every day we were walking 10 miles. Because Comic-Con is so huge. We're walking all the way around. 10 miles every day. But it was just like, I loved it. I loved it, though.
It was.
It was really cool. And I was a little nervous because it was so big. And, like, we'd never done anything like that before. But we fucking tackled it.
Comic-Con week is basically like a fucking holiday now.
It is.
Like,
a week-long holiday.
I was supposed to, on Sunday, I was supposed to go to visit, like, a friend towards San Diego. Not exactly in San Diego, but, like, towards that direction. And, me and Jen were supposed to go meet up with her, and then I was like driving on Saturday, and I'm like, there's no fucking traffic. I mean, like, for LA, like a ghost town. Like,
yeah.
You know, like the day after 4th of July, after everyone left town? That's what it felt like. And I go, what the fuck is going on this week? And then I'm like, oh shit, everyone went to the Comic-Con.
Yep, that's right.
You have to, like, reserve a hotel, like, in a year in advance.
Absolutely, dude. And that was
fucking holiday, dude.
But that was what was cool about it, because we didn't know we were going until, like, a week before.
Yeah, I know.
And they were like, we're going to take care of your accommodations, we're going to feed you guys. And I'm like, oh, this is a dream come true. I don't have to spend any money at Comic-Con. Like, I was broke anyway.
Paid trip to Comic-Con.
Yeah, and but not only that, we had the press badges. So we got to, like, we had our big cameras. We were running around filming everything, and nobody gave us any problem. We could go into different places that other people couldn't go to. It was just so cool.
That's fucking rad.
Yeah, dude, it was like nerd heaven over there.
Yeah, I actually canceled my plans to meet our friend. I went, like, yeah, listen, I'm not going to drive over there. Like, listen, I'm not going to sit in coming back from Comic-Con traffic on Sunday when I didn't even get to go to Comic-Con.
Dude, to be honest, the traffic was, like, traffic in the city was kind of bad, but getting to San Diego and coming back from San Diego was a breeze, dude. There was, like, I think both ways we were probably stuck in traffic for maybe, like, 20 minutes to 30 minutes, and that was it.
But what about that Sunday? Was there still Comic-Con that day?
There was still Comic-Con that day.
They closed early.
It was the last day they closed at 5. We ended up leaving around
1. I bet you all the traffic was the following Monday.
Everybody coming back. Possibly, yeah. possibly.
Because a lot of people probably can't afford like the more expensive tickets. I think it's actually cheaper to go on Sunday because it's like half a day.
A lot of people don't go the whole week.
Nah.
It's constant. I mean, like, there are people that are only there for
they're
like
just in and out.
Like some of the guys who are helping us out at for Famous Monsters, and some of them were, I mean, just like us, they were asked to help out, and they only paid to go for Friday and Saturday, but they got to go, you know, like Wednesday and Thursday too, because they were helping out.
Oh, that's cool.
So you know, I mean, like, they only could afford 2 days to go there, and usually Friday and Saturdays are like the best days to go.
So listen, Kev.
Yeah, buddy.
I've been a comic for 9 years.
Mm-hmm.
I've had the opportunity to get paid to fucking do what I do.
Hell yeah.
I've had the opportunity to go on the road, whether it's road trip or plane, hotel, you know, sharing a condo with several comics and shit like that. I know what you just experienced, and you guys listening, it is a fucking dream come true.
It is absolutely fun.
It is a lot of work.
Dude.
It's not like what you just think, that's just like, oh man, he's just partying and doing comedy. It's not just that.
Well, we do party.
There is that. There's I mean, let's be honest.
Mr. Tequila guy over here.
You know, but I mean, and sometimes they put you up in nasty situations and dirty situations. You have to share it with too many comics. Some comics that are just fucking gross. Some comics that are just like, you know, bringing in like bitches in the middle of the night when you're trying to get some sleep, you know, in the short time you have to get some sleep, and you just experience this now, man. Like you got paid to do what you want to do.
Our accommodations were like, it was very nice, but we were crammed. I mean, like, yeah, it was so funny because me, Dan, and Anton, we end up having to sleep on the floor in the living room in front of the TV, like little kids having a sleepover, dude. It was so much fun. Like,
I mean, it's fun because you got your buddies.
Yeah, but it was so cool because, like, we had this epic night where we were just up all night, like, laughing at each other. We were drunk, too, but it was just, like, it was because we got back, like, we were filming all day. And they're, yeah, like, we were all staying at, like, the Famous Monsters team. Everybody was staying in one house because, like, the owner's other accommodations had fallen through, something like that. And so when we're all crammed up in this house, and when, you know, you see how me, Dan, and Anton film. Like, we fucking bust our ass on set. We get everything that we can. We don't slack off. But at the end of the night, we need to go set off some steam. We need to go to a bar and have some fun.
So we can
keep it fun for the rest of the weekend. Like,
yeah, sure.
Like, even when we do that, we don't wake up hungover. We just wake up ready to fucking, what's our next shot? Like, we're up before them, cooking them breakfast and everything like that. It was really cool. But just like that one night that we had where all three of us were crashing on the floor and drunk and just laughing and giggling, trying, like, shh, don't make any noise. You're gonna, because Dan had, like, the inflatable mattress that kept on losing. Dude, it's just like,
yeah,
it was one of those nights that no matter how hard you explain it, and nobody will ever understand it. It was just like,
yeah,
really,
I know what you mean. Yeah,
it was just like really cool. It was really
cool. Well,
it's
cool all for your
us.
Buddies. You're doing what you love.
Oh, absolutely.
With, like, you know, your best friends.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a situation where it was a tight squeeze in the house, but you take it for what it is and you enjoy it. You got lucky that it was a nice, clean place.
Oh, yeah. But not only that, the people over at Famous Monsters,
they
are so fucking rad, dude.
Well, that's cool, bro.
They were so cool. Like, we got along with them instantly. They loved us. They loved working with us, and they want to work with us more. And that's what we're working out with them right now, because they're up in San Francisco. They don't have they basically want us to help them out with their Hollywood filming stuff, so we're working that out right now. It's really cool. We love working with these guys, and it's just because it's a legendary name, man. Like, Famous Monsters of Film, they've been around since the 50s. It's just like really cool just to be a part of that, not just like this new media team just wants to hire you to go down to Comic-Con. It's just like with this legendary name that has to do with like horror and sci-fi movies that like we grew up watching, and now we're like we're part of that. And just to go down to Comic-Con and
awesome,
film all
dude.
That shit was just like so cool. Like, that was like my drug.
Well, I mean, it's just the beginning.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
It's just the beginning, man. I mean, this is like a prime example. If you see how much you fucking sacrifice and you know, bust your ass and finally do something, and then when you get it, it's just the beginning. It's just you know what I mean. Now the fucking ass busting fucking really.
It's
comes
just
in.
It makes the ass busting really good. No, it makes the ass busting worth it because once you get that validation that what you're doing is like, yes, you're like. People get what you're doing, and they see value in it, and they want to help be a part of your future. And once that happens, once you get that validation, you work harder, but you work harder with a bigger smile on your face. You know what I mean? It just,
you're going to have like a moment where you just realize, like, man, like basically what you're doing is like working your ass off to get to the point to where you have to work your ass off.
But it's but it's guaranteed that you're going to get paid. You know what I mean?
The working your ass off never fucking stops.
No,
it's just like you're working your butt off just so, like, and you have to keep doing it when you do it.
Well, especially when it has to do with your passion, like what you want to do with like comedy or filming and stuff like that. Because like once you get that validation, it doesn't feel like work anymore. It feels like purpose. You know what I mean? Like that's,
I mean, it just sounds like a fun time. I mean, I've stayed in condos with comics I didn't know or didn't necessarily like. I liked, they're fine, or I knew them and I didn't necessarily get along with them, or we're just not like the same type. But then I stayed in places with comics where they're just my buddies. It was fucking awesome. I mean, I've never stayed anywhere with Joey Diaz because when him and I go on the road, he gets me my own room.
Yeah, that's cool.
He goes like, yeah, I mean, it's awesome. I love having my own room. It's the best. In a hotel room, fuck yeah.
We would love that, too.
Privacy, dude. Just you and, like, you know, after the shows, just go back to your own individual hotel rooms. I mean, it's up to you. Are you good?
No, I'm good. I'm fine. I just heard somebody walking by.
Oh, that's fine. You keep the door open.
Okay.
Yeah, man, like, I... like, listen, after the show, sometimes you can sit there and go get a drink with the guy.
Yeah.
And you have a good laugh, stuff like that. And then you go to your own hotel room. It's the fucking best. All right, bro, I'll see you tomorrow. Like, fucking best. Do whatever you want. Fucking, you know, watch whatever the hell
you don't
want.
Have to wait for 15 other people to be done using the shower so you can use the shower.
Fuck, dude.
We had to deal with
shit,
that. But it was cool. We didn't care. It was like,
I've had to do shit like that, too, man. I mean, I've stayed in places with... like guys where we had to share the condo, though. I actually get along with them. Like Jimmy Schubert, who was on this podcast.
We shared the condo together
one time. Dude, after the show, we stayed up to like 4 o'clock in the morning one night just fucking talking, drinking, getting hammered, smoking weed, and like fucking just sleeping the whole day.
Oh, dude, that's so cool.
But I love having my own room, though, man. In a hotel. You know how cold you can get hotels? Like you put those AC. I love that. I don't want to worry about anybody
bitching. I hate being hot, bro.
I want to sleep freezing.
Yes, I want it to be like to the point where I'm huddled up in my blankets because it's so cold in the room.
I want to be under there like a fucking Eskimo.
We should invent air conditioned bodysuits.
Well, I know they have air conditioned mattresses.
No, air conditioned bodysuits, so I can go anywhere.
Because then when you share a bed with a chick, you can have your own bodysuit and not, you know, because the mattress is the whole fucking thing. But no, yeah, dude, I love that shit. Just fucking. I put it down to like 67.
I go down the lowest that the thing will let me go down to.
Me too. Which is
I want to wake up with like 67. The vents frosted over like a freezer.
I want to wake up and like breathe and you can see the fog in front of you. And then, you know, put whatever show on that I want to fucking watch.
Hell
dude.
Yeah, dude.
Have a chocolate milk and go to bed.
Like Kevin McAllister in Home Alone 2. That's what you want. That's what you want.
So sometimes I love the road.
Oh, yeah.
And then, listen, don't get me wrong. Listen, I love Jen. I love living with her. But every now and then. Like, if it was more when it's the fourth day when I'm on the road, I start to really kind of miss home.
I'm a creature of comfort, too, man. Yeah. I need my own place. I like having days where it's just like I got nothing going on. I just want to be lazy.
Yeah.
Like, that's some of my favorite. That's why I couldn't do on-the-road stuff all the time.
Yeah.
But, like, in bursts, it's really cool. As long as I have that guaranteed, I don't have to do shit when I get back.
When you're doing, like, Thursday through Saturday shows,
it's
perfect. It's fucking, you know, you sleep there Thursday, you sleep there Saturday, and then, like, Sunday morning, we don't do shows on Sunday morning. Usually we'll wake up and just fucking get on a plane or drive back or whatever. That's perfect. That's the perfect amount of time away from your reality.
It's
away from
it's like a mini vacation.
Yeah, away from your girlfriend or your wife or whatever. You know what I mean? It's not like, again, it's not like,
but it's
I
not
don't
like that. No, well,
like
not
spending
that,
time with,
but it's
her
not like you're doing anything shady when you're doing that. You're just like, hey man, I just,
and it's not
I
like
just,
she's a nuisance to me or anything like that. It's just like sometimes that's the perfect amount to be on the road for fucking 2-3 days tops.
Yeah,
and just get a little break from each other. I'm sure they enjoy it too. And just sometimes you don't want to listen. Here's what I'm trying to say.
So sleeping somebody, in a bed by yourself sometimes is the most amazing feeling.
Oh,
that's
yeah.
like what it is.
Especially when you're chubby. You don't have to worry about how you look when you wake up. You know what I mean? You can sleep naked and fucking be in all kinds of awkward positions you'd never be in.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But, dude, you know what I'm saying? Like, when you're with somebody, you have to constantly worry about that they're happy. Or worry about, like, is it too cold for you? Is it too hot for you? Are you hungry? Because I'm hungry. Well, if you're not hungry, I'll wait. Sometimes you need 2 days to just fucking... It's what I want.
I think it's I'll just put
the
AC
all the way up. I don't give a fuck.
Not speaking for all men, but especially us in particular, we're pretty simple guys. I don't. I hate arguing over what we're gonna. I don't care. I'll eat anything. Mm-hmm. Like I just want it cool and comfortable. That's the only thing. Yes. I don't care what else. I just want it cool, comfortable, and I'll eat whatever's good.
Yeah,
that's it.
Cool and comfortable. I like it.
Cool and comfy. I always got my comfy cums.
I love it, bro.
You know what's great to do after these trips? And I've been doing this for a long time. I call them Champion Day. And that's when I go get brand new bed sheets, brand new underwear, brand new socks, brand new comfy clothes. I make up my bed, and then I just spend all my lazy time just there, just waking up. Because when you wake up that morning, when you have nothing to do, you feel like a champion. I got brand new underwear, brand new socks, brand new bed sheets.
How often do you do this?
When I feel like I need it, when I feel like I need a champion day, like when I bust my ass over at Comic-Con. I haven't done that yet. I need to get some new bed sheets. But just because, I don't know, it's just like a great feeling. It's fun to do, especially after you just worked your ass off on something.
And
you
I
just
know what want you mean, but I never really thought about the whole
try champion day, bro. No, oh, dude, try it. Try it. Nothing feels as fresh as a fresh pair of undies.
I just had a me day on Monday.
A what?
A me day.
A me day.
I called it a me day.
I know. You texted me in the morning.
Oh, yeah. That's right.
Want to go to In-N-Out for lunch? It's me day. I'm like, In-N-Out, dude. If it's a me day, we're going to Five Guys.
I've been fucking working my ass off, and at night I'll have shows, or I'm working on this project, you know, and all this stuff. So I did everything so that I can have that Monday off. I didn't have anything. I didn't have spots. I didn't have anything, bro. I didn't have work, nothing. I woke up. I planned that day. Like, just fucking, I woke up early, and I went and got a coffee.
It's like a regular work day.
No. I never go get a coffee on a regular work day.
Oh, okay.
I always either have coffee at home because I got the alarm coffee pot thing. Because
you need energy to do nothing, but you don't need energy to work all day.
Well, no. You don't understand. No. Because
I get what you're saying. No, I'm just thinking.
When it's a work day, I have the coffee pot at home. It makes a whole cup. And then I drink it on my way to work. Or, you know, we got coffee at work.
You're from California, and you pronounce coffee like how people do in New York.
Oh, I know. It's just the way
it's like the only New York thing that you do is when you say the word coffee.
No, it's just the way I was like, no, but when we make it like that, I just drink it straight. But when it's my day off, I do this on weekends too. When I don't have to work, I go to Starbucks and I get a flat white. It's like mostly milk and coffee. Fucking love it, bro. So it doesn't make you awake. It's just kind of like a little bit. So I woke up and got myself a coffee from Starbucks, right? And I came back and fucking popped in Dumb and Dumber. I've been dying to watch that movie. It's one of my favorite comedies, and Jen fucking hates it. She watched like half of it once. And went, this is so stupid. I don't know why you think this is funny.
So it is so stupid.
It's the best. It's like, and I just told her, I'm like, tomorrow's me day, and I go, just so you know, I love you. I warned her the day before. I was, just so you know, I loved you, but tomorrow I'm not gonna consider anybody's feelings but my own. And I go, I'm not going to ask what you want for lunch. I go, I'm going to get what I want for lunch. And if you want some, I will pick some up for you also. And that's what I did. I did, bro. We woke up and we watched Dumb and Dumber. And she fucking made me breakfast. I sat there and ate my breakfast. Then I killed 3 bottles of champagne.
Mm-hmm.
And then we watched like That 70s Show. Like I watched like 9 episodes of it.
You and champagne, man.
Oh, I love champagne.
You and champagne. I don't get it. I would have to drink 3 bottles of champagne to get a buzz, but you just love it, man. You just it's like Tapatio. You just pour it in everything.
I love it, bro.
I'm having a Coke. Let's just pour some champagne.
Up and drink it. It's a fucking breakfast alcohol, and I love it.
It's breakfast alcohol.
You just keep drinking, you get nice and buzzed, you get feeling good.
You know what's a really good breakfast alcohol?
Bloody
whiskey.
Oh, sure.
I'll just take a shot of whiskey. That will wake me up.
And then I went and got In-N-Out, and I came back.
Why not Five Guys?
Because I knew what I wanted all fucking week.
Okay. Okay. Man.
Like, that was me day.
I'm just asking.
It ain't Kevin day.
I'm just asking why you choose day.
It's me day.
I know it ain't me day. Well, it's me day, but you day, but not me.
Listen, I don't do fast food anymore.
Yeah.
Like, I just don't. The only time I do fast food is, like, once or twice a year I'll get In-N-Out when I'm, like, on the road driving to a gig. And we'll, like, want to stop and get In-N-Out. Like, that's the only fast food I'll do.
That's my superhero weakness, is fast food.
Is fast food?
It'll just slow me. I don't care.
I mean,
sometimes
I don't count,
it just tastes
going to Cactus, the burrito place.
No.
I don't do, like, McDonald's.
I space out my fast food.
I won't do that
shit. I swear off fast food for a long time, but then, like, maybe once a month or once every 2 months. I'm like, you know what? I kind of want some Burger King.
Oh, man. I can't eat Burger King. I can't. I won't eat Burger King. I won't eat McDonald's.
I don't know what it is.
Sometimes, just... like, if you guys talk me into it, Wendy's or Carl's Jr., because we're like, filming super late and we're all drinking and stuff. Yeah. And even then I'll be like, well, get me protein style.
But fuck you. Here's the double cheeseburger with bacon, bitch.
But no, dude. I got my In-N-Out, man. Dude, I got animal-style fries. I got a double-double animal style. And I got a Neapolitan shake. Ooh. I came home. I kept telling Jen, like, you sure you don't want anything? She's like, I'm good. I'm like, okay. Came home and ate that shit by myself on the couch. She sat there and watched. And then I put on Live by Night with Ben Affleck because I've been wanting to see that movie. I haven't seen it yet.
How was it?
It seemed interesting.
Wait, which one is that? But with Ben Affleck? Which
it's like
one?
The one that was like from the 50s. Oh, the gangster movie. The gangster
one? I heard it was really bad, but I didn't check it out.
It seemed interesting, but I had so much fucking In-N-Out and 3 bottles of champagne in me that I passed the fuck out in the middle of it.
Oh, why did Jen take a picture of that?
She might have.
Just imagine you with 3 empty bottles of champagne and In-N-Out wrappers, and you're just drooling like Homer Simpson, passed out in front of the TV.
Doesn't that sound awesome to you, though? It is. 3 bottles of champagne and In-N-Out, and then a passed out nap.
Sometimes you just need to be a lazy fuck.
And that
is okay, audience members. It's okay to have a me day or a champion day.
I haven't had one in like ever. And everybody says like ever, but literally probably like a year.
You know what You know what we need to do again? We did this years ago. We need to have like Back to the Future marathon week.
Yeah.
We got to watch it. I usually love watching those movies around November. It's so weird the way I plan out when I watch my favorite movie franchises. Star Wars I can watch whenever.
Okay.
But Back to the Future for me is like specifically in like November.
November 5th. 1955.
Not because I, like, as soon as fall hits, dude, I'm all about the horror movies. I'm all about the horror movies, the monster movies, because I love Halloween. But then, like, there's that awkward month between Halloween and Christmas where it's just like, well, were we going to sing Thanksgiving songs and watch Thanksgiving movies for a month? No, that's my Back to the Future month.
There's not really that many great Thanksgiving movies.
No.
Not really, right?
I don't even care.
Yeah, who gives a shit? There's one movie I watch every
year. No, I don't know why nobody watches Thanksgiving movies.
Why?
Because the whole time they're watching everybody eat Thanksgiving and they can't have Thanksgiving dinner. That's why.
Do you think that's what it is?
I think that's
I like Christmas movies a lot. There's 1,000 Christmas movies I love that I have to watch every year. But, like, for Thanksgiving, there's one movie around November that I like to watch, which is Dan in Real Life with Steve Carell.
Really?
I don't know why. They all go away, like, to Maine.
Mm-hmm.
Like on the East Coast, so like all the family has like a cabin that they all meet like every year, and it's not even Thanksgiving, and it seems like fall season. And I don't know, I kind of like that movie. It's like comedy and romantic. I like Steve Carell, and it just seems like fall, and I watch it every fucking fall now.
Right, man, there you go. But definitely we got to do a Back to the Future marathon, because like not only when we do that, we also go to the filming locations. Because we know where they all are,
man,
right here,
that
dude.
That was so fun.
I love doing that shit, man. Like,
and now that mall is actually named Twin Pines Mall.
Oh, and the sign has got moved to the inside of the mall.
Oh, they did?
It got moved to the inside. It's not on the outside anymore.
That's kind of lame.
But it was kind of cool that at least they put it out there for Back to the Future Day.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But it's cool because Dan lives over down by there. So whenever we're down there, if we have to go to the – it's so funny because Dan had no idea – that was the mall that they filmed it in, because that 24-hour fitness that's right there, like that's if you watch Back to the Future, it's in this shot. You can see where it's not 24-hour fitness in the movie, but the same building. He goes, I've been going there like for a couple of years, and I always go to that parking lot. I had no idea that was the Back to the Future Twin Pines Mall parking lot. It was just like, so, I don't know, man. Like, it's just because this movie had such a big impact on us. And for the fact that I lived so far away from California my whole life.
Yeah.
And when I come here, it's just like, I want to see these locations where they film my favorite movie. And I just automatically feel like I'm inside the movie. I'm like, I don't know. I just geek out about
that
shit.
That day, man. They did like a reenactment with the DeLorean.
Yeah, dude, that was how cool was that? How cool was that to say that? And not only that, Christopher Lloyd Skyped everybody on the big screen in the parking lot, man. Dude, that was so cool. When they reenacted that scene, man. I think I still have those videos on my old phone. I got to go check it out.
That was my Comic-Con, bro.
That was our Comic-Con. No, you know what? You're going to be pissed off that you missed, because Dave Collins and I went to it our first year out here.
Right, I remember.
But the second year is the Back to the Future convention in Burbank. It was right in Burbank, dude, and that was so cool.
Why don't they do that more?
I don't know. They only did it once.
That's fucking crazy.
They only
did it once.
Wasn't
it successful? I mean, come on.
Dude, the line was out the door. Why aren't they doing more Back to the Future conventions? I mean, like, especially if they're not giving us any new material. Although, did you see the Ready Player One trailer with the DeLorean in it?
Yes.
Dude, that was like, I was tearing up when I watched that, dude. And like, just seeing the DeLorean in action in a modern movie with like what they can do to make it look cool, like, it was just like, man, like, I have a feeling that that car is going to be in the movie a lot, and we're going to have a lot of really cool moments in that movie. I wouldn't even be surprised if they were able to get, like, CGI rights for, like, Michael J. Fox to go in there. You know, because it's a virtual reality world, and the kid loves the 80s, and whatever you can imagine appears for you. And so if he has the DeLorean, he might be fucking driving with Doc and Marty in it. You know what I mean? You never know. It'd just be so cool, because I love that. I would hate, like, a Back to the Future sequel reboot.
Right.
And what we get is we get the payoff of, like, visually of what that would be without ruining the movies or our expectations of what a sequel could or should be.
But so people can obviously tell how passionate you are about films. And
dude, I just love it, man. It's my escape, dude. I like it's because I grew up watching these movies, and I had a – I mean, it was an ADD, but – I mean, because I don't believe in ADD. But, like, I just couldn't focus when I was a kid, but I could focus on movies. I couldn't remember anything I learned in school, but I could recite every line of Back to the Future, Ghostbusters, Goonies, Indiana Jones. Like, that's what it was. And that's, like, you know, I've just been chasing that my whole life, and then here I am in a hot, sweaty garage with you talking about – talking
how
about
cool
our dreams
you
coming
got
true,
to
though.
Fucking go get paid,
dude. It was
to interview and just cover the whole event of
Comic-Con. It was
one of those things you can check off your bucket list.
It is because, like, well, the thing is, we were so preoccupied on making sure that. I mean, like, you've seen me, Anton, and Dan work. As long as we know what we need to do, we can go do it, and we'll work hard all day going out getting shots. Anton will hang off the fucking ceiling of a bridge just to get a shot. Like, we're hardworking. And so while we were there shooting everything, we were more in the mindset of, like, the filmmakers. What do I need to get? You still, oh, that's cool, let's film that. But it wasn't until I got those 45 minutes off to myself to go run around and buy a bunch of artwork and then, like, really enjoy it. But even when I was filming, I enjoyed it. But just for the fact that we were there officially. And the funny story about that is, like, a couple weeks before, me and Anton were always talking about, it's like, man, dude, Comic-Con's coming up, because our friends posted, like, oh, here's the schedule for Friday and Saturday at Comic-Con. Yeah. And we're like, god damn, man, like, we didn't get to go this year. I've never gone. I've always wanted to go. And Anton's just like, nah. The only way we're ever going to Comic-Con is if we're officially invited to go to Comic-Con.
Yeah, like,
be a part of Comic-Con. And then, like, a couple of days later, we get that email and phone call from Famous Monsters inviting us down to Comic-Con. And we were, dude, just that whole – the whole week leading up to it was, like, our main celebration and getting that out of our system. And then when we got there and we just started filming, I was just more nervous. Like, I wanted to do a good job because Comic-Con – that's, like, the biggest convention in the fucking planet. You know what I mean? And we had to cover it. And we're just a three-dude crew, you know what I mean? But we did it, man. We were running around because we weren't messing around. We were just like fucking whatever. If we could line up an interview with somebody, we'd line up. A lot of the interviews were provided for us, but we were walking by booths that were like, oh, that'd be cool to interview them. And we would line up interviews for the magazine, and they were like super impressed. They were really loved. They like we took so much stress off their back and covering all this footage that like – that was enjoyable for me.
Yeah.
Was actually filming it because, like, that's my drug, man. I fucking love filming stuff. So
it's pretty cool. It's pretty fucking crazy that when you're living in the moment of a time you literally have fantasized about.
Yeah. Yes. Like, that was it. Like,
not even like a similar to your fantasy. Yeah. No. Like the location.
Yeah.
The building, the moment. The people,
everything like, in there, it was just like so cool.
It must be how like chicks feel about their wedding.
Yeah, that's exactly what it was. We only had a week to plan our wedding. Yeah. But
girls are like, cool. Oh my god, like I'm actually living my dream, like on their wedding day, like that's. I don't know. Maybe it's not like that at all.
No, it was. Like, when you said, like, living an actual moment that you fantasized about.
You're actually in the moment of something you had fantasized about before.
Yeah, but the thing is, what's cool is, like, we had a week to knock the sillies off of our faces and fucking, you know what I mean? Like, when we found out, every 10 minutes, we'd just be silent and be like, dude, we're going to Comic-Con. Yeah. We just got invited to go to Comic-Con. And,
well, like, I mean, once you get there, the work is just constantly keeping you in check.
But what really did it, though, is, like, you know, we're running around the actual floor where all the booths are and stuff. But then next door was the hotel, like the Hilton. And that's where a lot of the actual press, like official press, like the press line where all the actors just go down the line and talk to each camera. And that's basically what we were able to do. And, like, when we got to that's when it's just like – holy shit, we're in places that nobody else can go to because we just went through three security things. And it was – I kind of felt like fucking Jim Carrey in Dumb and Dumber. It's okay. I'm a limo driver.
Yeah, yeah.
I was flashing my pass around. Like, you know what I mean? I'm like, press, I'm press. Yep. I'm going to go in this room. Vincent D'Onofrio and Meatloaf over there waiting for us. And it was just so cool, man.
He's just like, hey, in case you're wondering, here's my badge. Yeah. I'm allowed to be here.
Yeah.
The guy's like, I'm the bathroom attendant.
But it was, oh man, it was so cool. And what was really cool, because usually when you're asked to join like a bigger production to go film for them or something like that, you need to prepare yourself for working with their workflow and like almost like not really censoring yourself, but especially if this is your first job with them, you want to do great. They just let us be us. They did, and the first couple of days it was a little bit more structured just because there was so much things there, and they split me and Anton up, and Dan like was uploading a lot of data, which is fine. We had no problem with that. It's just like we started realizing like when all three of us were together, we were knocking shit out left and right,
yeah.
and it showed. And they just like we just gotta let them be them, but you know we're not paying the alcohol tab. that was it. But it was, dude, it was so cool. Those guys at Famous Monsters, let me tell you, they were just so welcoming, and they were just like just cool to hang out and talk with. And it's not like they were like testing us when we got there, like, all right, show us what you got. They're just like, hey man, what's going on?
Yeah,
all right,
go
cool.
Do your stuff.
Go do your. It go was do like, your thing. Oh man, they were so welcoming.
Well, they saw your work.
Yeah, well, that's how they hired us.
Right, they seen what you can do, and
they asked us to join them.
The best thing to do is just let the people that you fucking hired to do their job go fucking do their job.
Yeah, because they were looking that what made them get us is our YouTube page. Because like the owner of the magazine never met us, and then when they were pitching us to them, they're like, so these are guys that you know, like what? And then they showed them the YouTube page and goes, this is perfect. This is I want these guys to come help us out. And ever since then, it's been a great relationship, and it's gonna awesome, they're already asking us to do more stuff with them, and it's just the start of just something like just my dream, just to be part of like just to talk on camera about horror movie monsters, sci-fi shit, all that cool stuff that I do anyway for free. Like now we're gonna have like jobs doing that. And not only that, it's just like we get to do it the way that we want to do it because that's what's working. And dude, it's unbelievable. And a lot of that was because of you too, man. Like you were with us doing all these YouTube videos,
yeah.
and doing a lot of this stuff. And I mean, like we take care of everybody. So once we get into a place where it's just like, hey, man, if we're doing a lot more events, I'm gonna need at least a couple more correspondents on camera. And you've already been shown to them. You know what
After
I mean?
Filming that movie with you, man, I just more and more I find myself going like, I think I want to start doing more stuff. I want to start filming more. And
mm-hmm.
It never really was a dream of mine. And now that we've done the movie, I'm just kind of like, it's super fun. And I actually feel like I could do it.
Mm-hmm. Oh, absolutely. You can do that. That's why I wanted to make a movie with you. Because I knew you could do it. The thing was is that you didn't know if you could do it. But I knew that you could do it. Because like, I hang out with you all the time. You are a perfect character to be on like a TV or movie screen. It's just like your mannerisms, just like the way that you are. It's just like, especially when it's just you being you.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, I'm like, you were like, I wanted to make a movie with you before somebody else nabbed you up. All of a sudden, you're Mr. Superstar. I'm like, dude, we gotta make a movie with Augustino. And like, we gotta be brothers. And just because, you know, it's just like.
When can we count on a trailer coming out?
Well, a lot of that stuff got put on hold because of the Comic-Con stuff. So after this week, when we get all of our footage to them. Because we shot so much, from now in the future, we're not going to have, like, we'll probably end up having to go to one press event. And that usually just takes us a day to cut everything to the way that they like it and send it back to them. So after this week, I'm actually planning on getting right back into Swayze, finishing up Swayze, because, like, dude, that's our baby. And I love it, too. But it's also a blessing because we're having trouble, not really trouble cutting it. It's just because we've been filming it for so long. And we're so almost like immune to all the footage because mm-hmm. we were looking at it every day for countless hours, just cutting things together, where things kind of like not become numb. It's just like you've seen too much of it. You need to step away.
So you need to take a little break from it, work on something else. Yeah, like split up the monotony, right?
Yeah. I mean, it's not even bad. And it's not because we needed to step away. It's just like this happy accident of being able to go down to Comic-Con is a perfect little vacation away. So when I jump back into Swayze, well, I already know everything I want to do. But I'm always thinking about, so I'm always, it's so weird, I'm always cutting it inside my head.
Yeah.
That's how I cut.
But now when you go back down and you sit in front of it like next week,
it's not going to be like, I don't know what to do.
Yeah, no, it's going to be like a fresh pair of eyes all over again. You can, you know, you sometimes you just need to walk away from stuff.
Yeah. Well, that's what's great about me, Dan, and Anton is because one, like, because we're like a well-oiled machine. We're like, we can switch our stations without losing pace.
Mm.
Because, like, we just, like, if I've been editing something for a week, all of a sudden I'm like, hey, Dan, go jump on this and give me your fresh take on it. And he'll see things that I didn't see. And he's just like, oh, you know, we don't need this part because, you know, it just doesn't need it for the story. And
yeah.
Like, all right, cool. And I do the same thing for all of it. Like, we all take turns just doing it. But having a nice little two-week break from editing Swayze was a little bit yeah. comforting. But most of all the tough shit is out of the way for Swayze.
Yeah.
It's just like most of everything that I have to do is just sound, because we have a lot of ADR we have to do with those masks.
Right.
But yeah, man, it was just like, I just hope that gets you into filming more, because it just goes to show that there is no project too small. You don't know what this one little project could do for you. Like that first film that we did, Torture, that was without you. It was the very first short film we did. Stephanie, she was the actress in it. She played my girlfriend that ended up getting shot and killed. And, spoiler alert, in case you ever plan on watching Torture. But because of that one little small scene, she ended up getting well, I got this from Anton. She ended up getting she got signed to a manager. And now she's all up in Telemundo. She's like the main star in like a Telemundo show and all that stuff. So it just goes to – I mean, it's not like we brought her to that. But that one little thing that she did with us helped convince the manager that she can – she used it for her reel. And he ended up signing her on the spot. And now she's like all over like Telemundo. And she did spots in like Supergirl and I think Blackish. You know what I mean? It's just like all that's what all this hard little work that you were talking about. These little things that you can do to improve your craft are always going to end up being the thing that actually helped you get there. It's so weird.
That's why I hope that this film that you and I just did getting some more acting work out of it and stuff.
Absolutely,
like that. And that
dude.
Movie that you just were talking about, or that short film rather, Torture that you did, was the movie that you showed. At that film festival,
the Famous Monsters Film Festival,
which is the guys who hired you to do Comic-Con. Yeah. and it just goes to show you, like, you know, like, there's a lot of content on the internet, and I mean, there's a lot of people out there. Like, if you guys are out there in your comics or you want to be filmmaker or something, you're listening, like, you feel like why am I doing this? Like, I feel like, you know, there's guys that put out so much content, shorts, sketches, mm-hmm. videos, and like sometimes it could probably feel like, even watching it, I'll go like, oh, so much stuff out there, like, I wonder if any of this is gonna make it. But you know what, fucking make it.
Yeah,
just fucking,
dude,
make it.
Well, it's not just having so much content,
use the resources you have to fucking put stuff out there, because you never know who's gonna see it and go like, you know what, I want to hire you for this. Like, I've gotten hired on comedy gigs just because somebody saw a clip on YouTube,
mm-hmm.
or someone just saw me performing at a comedy club.
Yeah.
Just fucking get out there and do it. And this is a prime example of, you know, Kevin made that film, someone saw it. You know, a girl got a manager out of it. He, you know, they got hired to do Comic-Con because of it. And it's just get shit out there.
Yeah, just do it. Don't doubt yourself. I mean, it's good to have a little bit of self-doubt, because as long as it helps you push you forward. But don't let, like, because, I mean, don't think that what you're doing isn't going to benefit.
There's a fine line between doubt and fucking
motivation.
Well, no, I don't know. I just lost my train of thought. But
your plane of thought, because a plane was flying.
No, my train of thought. I don't know. What the fuck was I just gonna say? I was going somewhere.
There's nothing
with that.
Too little. It's just like, don't doubt. There's a fine line between.
It's
doubt.
It's not doubt though. Here's what I was gonna say. It's a fine line between doubt and reality.
Yeah.
Not doubt yourself. Like you shouldn't doubt yourself, like you said. But it's that other feeling there that may seem like doubt. It's actually just reality.
Uh-huh.
And that's just you keeping it in check. You always have to have your reality. Know your place. Know where you are. Know how much harder you have to work.
Mm-hmm.
And here's one thing that I've learned that, you know, like when you work so hard to get something to accomplish one of your dreams, which you just did. You just check something off your bucket list.
Fuck yeah.
There. You work so hard to get it. And some people, I think that when they finally get that thing that they wanted, they slow down,
mm-hmm.
and they'll go like, oh yeah, I got it, we're good.
No.
And it's exactly the opposite.
That's bro, like you're
bro,
just
you'd
starting.
Be surprised how many people I know that do that. You're like, bro, I just fucking filmed this thing, bro. Like, I know a guy that just filmed a special that went on Comedy Central, like a half hour one.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And he's the type of guy, and he's just going to go like, he's going to take like 2 months off now. Like, that's something that he'll be like, man, I accomplished something. Like, I'm going to go, like, party. I'm going to go drink.
That, nah.
It's so stupid. It's when you've finally hit something, when you got to take off running.
Well, yeah, that's the thing. I mean, like.
Yeah, now when you're hot, bro, that's when you got to hit it more than anything. You got a 30-minute special.
Because it's not going to be there forever.
Yeah, exactly. Right now, while people flipped on their TV late at night and you were there, you have to be out doing spots at comedy clubs every fucking night.
I just
night.
Saw that guy last night, not 2 months later. I thought I saw that guy on TV yeah. a couple months ago.
And then he should write a fucking, or maybe he had a bit that he didn't use in the special, or write a brand new fucking brilliant bit that he used in the special, maybe something topical, and film it. So now while he has heat on TV, people are going to go to like see him on YouTube and go, that's that guy from Comedy Central, and then that gets back to like his webpage or some shit like that. Like, when you finally strike oil
uh-huh.
is when it's time to go to work.
Absolutely.
You know what I'm saying? So people are like, no, I worked so hard, so I struck oil, so now I'm gonna go on fucking vacation with my fucking gold. And
I mean, like, it's good to set like a day off for yourself or like a weekend, but when you say you're gonna take 2 months off, unless it's guaranteed that all that shit's gonna be there when you get back. I mean, like,
no, there's no guarantees, no. man.
I mean, like, you're setting yourself a little like me time or champion yeah. day. That's one day. Moments. That's all it is.
And then you got hired by this company, and they're treating you as good, and they like what you guys have done. And
I don't
like
want to slow down. I want to go. I just want to keep going because I love it.
To still produce your own content that has mm-hmm. nothing to do with them, because so they can still that you see that you're still doing shit.
Yeah, and that was what's cool about this is that like they're working with us, but they're still allowing us to be us, and even with like our name Too High McFly,
yeah,
like they put our they credited us on their TV show.
That's great.
And put our logo on there yeah. on our TV show too. That so was now like really cool.
Brand
to see.
New viewers that didn't already know you, but mm-hmm. they follow that company.
Yeah.
So now they're gonna go check you out. Let me see who these guys are. So they're gonna go look at your page, and they you have to see that you have brand new content still being pushed out there.
But not only that, I mean, it's so funny because just this last 5-6 days, like even right when we got back from Comic-Con, we're already setting up the garage to go film some other shit, our other videos, our other movie yeah. reviews, our reactions. And just in the last 6 days, we've generated over like 10,000 views. Just in the last like 6 days, and it's still going up. And so that's we're like well, that's like when we have to review. That's when we have to keep pushing harder. So we're already exactly. planning our videos, and we're creating new segments because we want to expand Too High McFly just to make it feel more than it's just me on camera mm-hmm. all the time with like Dan or just you. And so we have like my buddies Jose and Mike. They're going to be doing like a comic book segment, and we're also going to be doing some movie reviews for Famous Monsters too. And we have our segment on the rocks. And if you ever have a segment that you just want to film, I mean, you know, we have the green screen. You can come yeah. on and do anything. You know what I mean? Even if it's just like tips for comics or well, whatever you want to do. I don't know. What I'm saying is, if you ever had a segment that you wanted to do and throw up on our channel, you know, you just come down and just fucking do yeah. it.
If you guys still haven't went and watched our On the Rocks episodes, though, please do.
Yeah.
Please give us some views over there. I mean, we talk about movies. They're not long. I mean, it's like basically two comics. Like, they're funny movie reviews, yeah. so they're helpful.
It's kind of funny.
Get what you need from a movie review, and you're also laughing at the same time.
But that segment specifically was like a social experiment for me, for you, because like everybody has those movies that they just won't watch or haven't watched, and it's just like I love making you watch a movie that you don't want to watch or have no desire to go watch, and then we drink whiskey and talk about it. That's my favorite thing.
Yeah, so it's called On the Rocks, you guys. So
for
it's,
on the Too High McFly YouTube channel, and yeah. we have a new episode of that coming out this week. We didn't have time to get it done before Comic-Con.
Which one's coming out now?
You'd never watch Don't Tell Mom the Babysitter's Dead.
Oh, that's right. That's right. We did Don't Tell Mom the Babysitter's Dead. What happened to our Spider-Man one? We didn't do that one. Well, you guys ended up doing a film brew.
No, we did a film brew just because you were ripping on Spider-Man the whole time. And I'm like, well this company's just – I know that's you and me, but we wanted to get – like, well, that's because it's more jokey. And so if we were going to put out a movie review, we wanted to do an actual in-depth like Too High McFly film brew movie review yeah. before we did that. We still have it. It's just like we got backlogged, and I have to get those. That one is edited, but I want to get the Don't Tell Mom the Babysitter's Dead one out.
Yeah, well, it's still summer. Yeah, man. Like, get that out there.
It's all done. I just got to throw up some pictures.
You need content right now. I mean, this goes for any industry that you're in. Like, yeah. as soon as you start to get a bite on something, that's mm-hmm. when you got to go hard. It's not when it's time to slow down.
Oh, it's time to speed up.
It's time to speed up. Fuck yeah, bro.
Oh, dude, did you see, we were watching just like the other day when we were in the studio, when we were just like relaxing, taking a break. We watched one of those Honest Trailers. Do you ever see one of those? It's this YouTube channel.
I think I have.
Just like, they just make fun of, they do their own version of the, of whatever movie that they do. They do their own trailer review where they're just making fun of the movie. And so we watched the Point Break one. They released a Point Break, and what was so funny, I didn't even notice it. They just, while they were talking about it, the movie, side by side, they split the screen in half, and they had shots from Fast and the Furious describing the plot. I'm like, holy shit, it's the same fucking plot as Point Break.
Oh my God, really?
Yeah, and if you think about it, it's a young FBI agent sent into, like, a mean crew that's robbing things for their own benefit, and they're all like, brah, you know what I mean? I was like, holy shit. But I thought you would have liked that.
So. I would. Yeah. They ripped it off, bro.
They did.
Point Break is the shit. No, yeah, I was just reading about this... this other thing. Do you know that show Impractical Jokers?
I heard of it.
Okay.
Because I don't have cable.
Right. It's really fucking funny. I mean, mm-hmm. I think they're on like their sixth season, and it's like four dudes that you know, it's like kind of like a hidden camera show, but like the other three dudes are always like in their ear.
Put them
in scenarios. Like one time they went to a theme park. They went to Universal Orlando, and that was like one of my favorite episodes. They went to Universal Orlando, and like one dude had to do stuff and interact with people, but they're telling him in his ear like what to do, and like if he doesn't do it, then like he loses a point or something like that.
Yeah.
So like they're having him do stuff like the guy who holds the rope letting like the next person in for the ride, like one by one, like how many, three, okay, you go there, and then like puts the rope back. So you had him do that, and they had him do shit like just like pretend he didn't hear people when they're asking questions, and just make him sit there for like so long.
Yeah.
And then he would like you know, doesn't sound that funny out loud, but it's fucking hilarious. He's like, you know, telling some kid, like, but he had to act serious. It's like telling some kid, like, do you know these people? It's like to his parents, like a little kid. And he kept going, like, yeah. And he's like, are you sure? And then he, like, whispered to him. And he goes, like if they're bothering you, let me know. Do you want me to call 911? And stuff like that. Like, it was really, anyway, it's just a funny fucking show. And I was looking into the history of those four guys. They actually all went to, like, a really small school together.
Uh-huh.
So, like, they weren't, like, all best friends, but everyone knew everyone. That's how small the school was. And then they ended up doing like an improv together.
Uh-huh.
And then they all went to college and then moved back home after college. And when they moved back home, they're like, oh, you guys all still do improv? And they're like, yeah. So they started their own improv group, and they were called the Tenderloins. That was their improv group. So then they pitched this show, and the show got picked up. Obviously, it's very successful. It's six seasons now.
Mm-hmm.
And then they were saying is that they, when they're not filming, they actually still go on the road with their improv group, and they still go by the Tenderloins. They're like, why don't you go by Impractical Jokers? That's the name of your fucking TV show.
Yeah.
And they're like, because that show's not going to be around forever, and we're still the fucking
–
This is the home team right here.
Yeah, man.
Like, and
stop fucking with our name.
That's what I'm saying. Like, I mean, you're going to work with other companies. You're going to fucking get out there. You'll sell some shit to other outside people. But at the end, you're still Too High McFly.
Absolutely. And you're Too High McFly, too.
Yeah, man. And you're just going to keep putting fucking great product out there. And
we're never going to stop doing this. That's what I love about it is that we always have what we always do. It's just that now that we're given an opportunity to do more, but as we do it, we're not going to try. They ain't going to make us put on business suits.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Yeah. They're not, you know, it's just they do what you do. And, you know, because they love our footage. They love what we get for them, you know? So it's just great being able to do us, but also fit into a bigger world, you know, that's not a part of our name. You know, like the Famous Monsters name has just been around for like so long. And even when we were like we were interviewing that show Stand Against Evil, and Dana Gould called me out from across the room because I was wearing a Famous Monsters t-shirt. It's like, Famous Monsters, I love that shirt, bro. Because he's like such a huge fan of the magazine. Like, and so many people. It was so weird when we were walking around with those shirts and the hats. Like how nice everybody was to us, and just like usually if you're filming something, they're like, who are you with? But when we're filming something, like, oh, you're with Famous Monsters. It's like, oh yeah. You know what? We're gonna close off our entire booth so you can film our booth. I'm like, fuck yeah, all right.
It's very nostalgic, isn't it?
Yeah, it's cool. It's just part like when we went to the Guillermo del Toro exhibit at LACMA. it was such an awesome exhibit just to see all the things that he created in his movies. And then there was this whole panel of Famous Monsters magazines that were behind, like, the glass was on display. And I was like, holy shit, like, we're part of that now. Yeah. Like, we're officially a part of that. And it's just...
I can think of at least, like, off the top of my head, at least, like, two scenarios where I've actually just sat back and went, like, holy shit, I actually fantasized about this exact thing. Like, dude, like, one time when I was, like, you know, still wanting to be a comic but never did, I was at the Improv watching the show, and I was I remember Dane Cook popped in on that one. But anyway, I was sitting, the seats that I had at the Improv, if you've never been to Hollywood Improv, it's like two parts. It's like the stage, and then there's like a whole part where of the audience, and then there's a curtain that they'll open and extends like the higher up part in the back.
Yeah.
And then like I was like back there, but off to the side, like where the DJ booth is.
Yep.
And, like, the wall along where the DJ booth is kind of, like, where comics will wait to go on stage. So I remember sitting there, and I remember, like, Dane Cook popped in, like, all these comics. And they would go up, and, like, you know, you're fucking watching the show, you're having a good time. And then I remember they got off stage, and they go sit by the DJ booth over there with all the comics are, like, talking, like, oh, good set, and stuff like that. And they just chilling there. One guy had his girlfriend, and he just brought her to the show. He'd come up, he was, like, hosting, and he got off stage, and he would, like, kiss his girlfriend, and you know what I mean? And, like... And be like, hey, you're still good. You want another drink and stuff like that. I just remember, like, I was sitting right next to that area, and I just kept looking, like, so that's what they do when they're off stage. You know what I mean? Yeah, I just remember thinking of that. Yeah. I just kept thinking, like, man, like, it's so fucking cool. Like, what a great life. And then I've literally performed at the Hollywood Improv in a sold out show, and like walked back over to that same exact seat and sat there, and was like talking to a buddy about, like, you know, like, kind of whispering, yeah, man. So I like that bit about, blah, blah. And then I like sat back for a second and went, like, I'm exactly in that fantasy that I had of, like, I wonder what that's like. I'm exactly in this moment right now.
Yeah, and I, like, when you were saying that, like, I had the same type of moment at the Comedy Store. The first time I got to go do a show at the Comedy Store, I got booked up in the Belly Room. And the Belly Room is really cool. I mean, it's up there. It's not as big as the other rooms.
I like the Belly Room a lot. I do too.
But I remember the first time I did a show there, and I killed it. It was awesome. I remember walking down the stairs and then stopping by the main room on my way out, which was packed. I think it was – was it Chris D'Elia on stage? I think so, possibly. I just remember the room was just packed. It was like one of the biggest comedy rooms I've seen in person. And like, I remember seeing him on stage and everybody laughing. I'm like, oh shit, man, I can't wait to get, I want to get on that stage. Like, that was like,
yeah, when it's packed,
I'm like, because I'd never done, that was the first time I was at the Comedy Store. I'm like, I can't wait to get on that big main stage. Could you imagine that? Mm-hmm. And then fast forward, I don't know, maybe like a month or two later,
you're there.
All of a sudden, I'm there. It was a Friday night and it was a packed room, and I'm sitting there on my own stage making them all laugh. And I'm like, so that's what that feels like. That's
yeah, that room is weird sometimes.
It is.
It's too big. And the stage is too big.
It is, but let me tell you, man.
It's fucking awesome.
Because I've done that stage in that room when it was like packed Friday night, and I've done that stage on another Friday night where I couldn't even get on until like 1:30 in the morning, and there was two people in the audience. Yeah. But I still made those two people laugh. Like, they had a great time, and so like it was cool. It was just like it's just – I don't know. Like, you want those moments where it's just like a packed room on this big, beautiful stage. But after you get that, it's like all you care about is just making those two people laugh.
I've done it where – yeah, I've done that room also where it was just like a couple people and like not even sitting together. One's over there. One's over there. They're just scattered awkwardly. But like I mean I've done that room at this point like so many times I'm really actually comfortable on that stage.
Yeah, man. I love that. I love that stage in that green room too. I love it. Because it got booked so many times on that stage. You know how it just kind of feels like your living room when you walk on that stage? It's just like, I belong here. This is where I stand and be funny.
It's a great feeling. Just feel like you own the stage and you just, you know, you're not restricted. You feel like you can move around any way you want. Another one of those feelings that I have is like, actually, I did the Brea Improv. And like some of the improvs, bro, are like fucking huge. They made like the main room of the Comedy Store look tiny.
Oh, shit.
Like this fun, the one in Oxnard just opened, like the new Irvine Improv. The one in Oxnard is actually a Levity, same shit. But anyway, dude, they're fucking huge, man. And like, I remember having like one of those moments, and like, I was actually opening for Joey then, and like it was like sold out, like fucking like 500 seats, bro. Like fucking 500 seats and it's sold out, and you go on stage and just fucking electrifying. And I didn't even have the moment while I was on stage.
Yeah, I was
just killing it. I had a fucking great time. I got off stage
because that goes by so fast.
Yeah, like you're doing your thing, and then when I got off stage, I was like, I didn't go back in the room. I kind of just sat there and watched Joey for a minute, and then like I was like, I look at him, I look at the audience, I look at him, I look at the audience, and just like, holy shit, man! I've I fucking have dreamt about this moment. I just did it, and I didn't even think about that.
So now that we're having this conversation, like we both dreamed about doing things and both becoming realities. What's your next dream that now that you're thinking is like, man, I can't wait till I get there. What's that next Augustine?
What's the dream next moment? Like fantasy I'm having right now that I want to live?
That you know you want to live and you feel like it's gonna happen in your future.
I mean, man, there's so many. It's so hard. Like, first thing that comes to my mind.
I mean, you definitely didn't peak, bro. You're nowhere near peaking. No. So, like, what's like, come on, what is it?
That's why there's so many.
Well, what's the next one that you feel is like, is just on the tip of your fingers? You're almost there. What do you feel? Is it like a TV gig, movie gig, a headlining gig?
I think something that's more easily accomplished, or that will come soon. Okay, so I'll have two that I came to my head. So one I can accomplish probably, I feel like, sooner than the other. Mm-hmm. And I think that would be to have like a small role in a movie or something, okay, or in a show. I feel like that's probably more doable. Because, like, you know, I can get an agent and, like, you never know, I might book something. I know 90,000 comics that book shit and then none of them know how to act.
See that trailer with your name on it.
You know, like, not even just like a little small role, like the weird funny guy who's got two lines in a movie or something like that. You know what I mean?
You always want to make sure it's more than two lines just so they don't cut those two lines out.
But you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, like, dude, get you, man.
I remember seeing TJ Miller before he was a household name, but like just a small part in major comics, like, you know, with like Jonah Hill and then like, you know, like TJ Miller would be like the guy who gave him popcorn, like a little funny scene or something like that. I feel like that's more like, I fantasize about that a little bit, and I'm not really fantasizing about doing it, and I'm not fantasizing about watching myself in the movie.
It's just getting to that point.
The fantasy I'm having is like having the movie, and I tell everybody like it's coming out on this day,
yeah,
and then like we'll all for fun go watch it together, yeah, or something like that. That's more like the fantasy that I'm having. And then the other one is just being able to sell out rooms as a stand-up. I mean, not even, it doesn't have to be huge rooms. You know what I mean? I'm not talking about like 500 seaters. I mean, I guess you should, like, sky's the limit.
Mm-hmm.
But I really would like to, you know, like enough for where I can do a weekend in small towns and sell it out, not be like, oh, and not have that feeling of like, oh, I hope that we sold tickets, like
where you're just chilling all comfy and cool in your hotel room by yourself, and you're saying, man, Augustino, you were ready for you.
And to get to the point where I can, you know, bring another comic on the road to open for me, and I'm able to do that because I'm confident that we sold enough tickets that I can afford to bring the guy with me, to, you know, pay him enough and get him his own room or wherever the fuck we're staying.
Yeah.
And just like not have that feeling of like, I remember I've done some on the road where I've headlined some small rooms and I just go like, oh, I hope there's people that actually show up, otherwise, like, you know, I'm coming home like breaking even and shit like that. I don't want that feeling. I want to make sure that like I made money, people are there to see me. And I guess the fantasy there is that, like, you know, I'm kind of known already when I come out on the stage and people are excited to see me. And I think that would probably be, you know, generated from the podcast.
Yeah,
I mean, a lot of guys do it that, I don't mean to sound like a douche, but as a stand-up, there's a few guys I don't think that are as good as I am as a stand-up, but mm-hmm. they sell out places because, honestly, they have a very successful podcast, or, you know, for whatever reason, they just put a bunch of, like, funny videos out, and they just build their social media up a lot, and so they can sell out in certain places, like little small rooms around here. So I'm just working on all that shit, hoping that something fucking sticks, man.
Dude, it's gonna. I see it in you. Same way I saw it in us, and now look, we're getting hired to go do stuff. So, dude, it's gonna happen, man. It's just like how you're saying. Once you get your foot in the door, don't take a vacation. You fucking sprint through the party, and you just get as much free shit as you can. Just do it.
I mean, hey, last week you couldn't even walk in this garage.
Yeah, that's right, man. And now we can walk in a 5x5 fucking square foot space that you cleared out.
Yeah.
But so, for me, it's just like, I feel like my next step that I want to do is make a full feature. I want to direct a feature, and it's like one that I've been wanting to do for a while. You started to pitch me an idea last week when I stopped it. I'm like, dude, that's the basic basis of the movie that I've been trying to make for like last couple of years. And you're like, oh, all right, cool. Yeah. I'm like, dude, that yeah. movie's been written. I've already done like three versions of that script. And the only thing is I just need money to make the movie. That's about it. But that's like my big next goal is to make a full feature. And then just
can do it, bro.
Oh yeah. And then with this whole Monsters thing, I mean, because like they're gonna the famous Monsters, they love me on camera too. Because at first I was going down there as a cameraman. All of a sudden I stepped it up, and like, they knew I was on camera, and they wanted that. It was just like they want to make sure that we got mm-hmm. other things first. And now he's like, I want more of Kevin on camera. I love Kevin on camera.
Great.
He's like, he has a great energy. It makes you feel like you just want to be his friend. You know what I mean?
Oh, great.
So it's just like, I want more of that. I'm like, dude, you got it, man. Just send us some fucking press
lines.
Send us
some fucking projects and shit.
Yeah, we're already going to be developing some like other for their YouTube page. We're going to help them out with doing some other stuff, like other segments, like how we were talking about for the Too High page. And, the main thing is just like I know that we're gonna get sent out to press junkets for like some of my favorite movies, like you know, like Justice League or like Star Wars. If because they get invites to that stuff, but they just can't go because they're up in San Francisco, and so they want a Hollywood film crew, and that's basically who we are. So they'd be sending us out to these press junkets when they get the invites, and they get a lot of them. So it's gonna be cool to be a part of that. I mean, like, come on. I'm not going to say I do it for free, but I do it for free just for the story. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, but yeah, that's it, man. I want to make a movie with you. That's my next step. It's just make it. I just want to make a full feature.
Another
with
goal
you.
That I have is actually I want to write a pilot
mm-hmm.
and a feature. And I actually have an idea for both, and they've just been in the back of my mind. And the more and more I have them back in my mind, the more I add to it, and the more I go, oh, that's a great idea, and I work this shit out. And like the next thing is just fucking writing it down.
Yeah,
and like starting to put like a script together. So I actually have like a good idea for a really good movie, which is a comedy, but it's not just like slapsticky. It's actually it's a funny comedy that actually is like
don't explain it too much.
No, it's a comedy. It's like a romance,
a romantic also, comedy.
Yeah. Oh yeah, those that yeah that
that's
genre
a genre.
Does exist. Yeah.
You're like, I'm trying to invent a genre.
It's
what
not
if we took
stupid,
funny,
stupid funny,
and we made
it
romantic?
Kind of a romantic comedy, probably similar to Yes Man, I'd say, where it's not too romance. It's more comedy than romance, but you know what I'm saying. And then I want to write a pilot for a show.
Do it, and but the thing is, man, when you do that stuff, you got to come up with like 5-10 different ideas just so you're not a one trick pony. Mm-hmm. That's the only thing that's what we learned. So I mean, like that's great, but just make sure you develop more for your back pocket in case like next.
No, I know. I mean, I don't really have anybody to pitch it to right now. It's just a goal of mine to actually write it.
Well, then just write it, man. Set yourself a date just to actually write it. And if you need help with understanding how to do like scripts, structure and stuff like that, just like, you know, we're always here to help.
I got to start like outlining it and shit.
And we'll have Dan teach you like story structure for like mm-hmm. movies and pilots and stuff like that.
I mean, it doesn't necessarily even have to be a feature. I'm just thinking, you know, just like a short, just like the one that we just did. I even
everything
have like
structure.
Some actors, like comic friends of mine, that would be perfect in the parts already.
Well, hey man, you know we can film it for you.
That's what I'm thinking. Like, I want to write the script out and then show it to all you guys, and then have you guys, you know, fix it up with me and stuff, and then maybe you'll get excited about filming it with me.
Of course, we love you. Are you kidding me? Of course, we'll film. Well, like I'm telling you, we'll film whatever you want to do, mm-hmm. just because we've worked with you for so long, I feel like we owe it to you. You know what I mean? We'll film whatever you want.
Yeah.
So don't be afraid about that. It's just making we want to help you to make it as best as possible. So we're excited about it, because whenever we're excited about something, it always comes out great.
Right. Yeah. That's the thing. Like, you're into it. You'll spend the time and be passionate about it to make it good. And that's what I want to do, man. So I want to get like at least like the first draft out, so I can have something to show you guys, so you can go like, okay, well, here's how we should do that. And
before you get the draft out, you got to get the structure out.
Well, structure and draft, and then maybe I might even bring you in after the draft. I mean, after the structure.
The thing is, we love, dude, whenever you want to do that, will you just come down to the studio? Because we love having development days.
Yeah.
We love having creative development days where we're sitting around, we're just coming up with, we have the big white board, we're just going to, hey, this would be good, this would be great. And just coming up with ideas, because that's what it is. Because if you just start writing the script, it's not going to be
good. I'll outline it, and then I'll structure it, you know what I'm saying? I'll get all you guys' input on it and stuff like that. Yeah. We have to have Dan on this podcast at some point, because we're so fucking far.
Absolutely. Well, next time he's at Anton's right now. We should have just done the podcast.
We needed to do just you and me. I mean, last week you weren't here. And every now and then you got to do one with just me and you.
Yeah, I love it. Just because I love it, you know.
But yeah, Dan, you know, a great writer with Two Eyed McFly Productions, so we'll have him on soon. Just I forget sometimes we're doing a podcast again. We're like, yeah, so my buddy Jeff, and we're like, we've got to explain what the fuck we're talking about here.
Daniel DeSangre, not Daniel DeStrange.
Yeah, sorry.
That is, you have referred to him before.
I kind of like that. But anyway, yeah, man, I'm getting fucking humid in here.
Well, yeah, you want to start wrapping this up?
Let's wrap this up, bro. All
right.
Yeah, thanks, Kev. I'm excited about, you know, turning this into a podcast studio. I need some fucking brainstorming here on how to get this AC running and cooling this room off and not being super loud on the mics. But we have some great podcasts to come, and I want to thank all you guys for who have been listening since the beginning and not giving up on us and keep tuning in each week. And I mean, I look at every download from all the episodes, and we definitely haven't lost any. You know, man, we'll go weeks without gaining any, but we definitely haven't lost
any. Dude, that's
any.
What so it was with Too High.
You guys who are listening, like, just thank you so much for you know, keep giving us a chance and let me...
And comment about, like, if you think that there's something that you want us to talk about, too. I mean, like, we're always down for talking about anything.
Feedback, comments. And here's the thing. I'm actually kind of weary about, like, if I'm even... researching this right, because like where I go to my SoundCloud account, I can look and it'll show me like all the plays and the downloads and shit.
Mm-hmm.
But then like I've been communicating with some people on Twitter and stuff like that, and they're saying like, well, we don't really like to use iTunes, or like we like to use Stitcher, and like this episode's not out of Stitcher yet. And I'm like wondering, like, does that tell me like the downloads from every source? So I actually have no idea.
That's weird. I don't know.
There might be more listeners out there than I know of.
We'll take a look at it. Because Anton's really good at reading all those diagnostics.
Cool. If you're out there and you're listening, fucking let me know. I do know that if you want to comment or rate, I do know that iTunes is best for that. If you go on iTunes and do it, or if you use an iTunes app, podcast app like I do, it's really easy to go on there and just rate somebody. So give us a 5-star rating, please. Give us a nice little comment.
Give us a 10-star rating.
Yes. Yeah, so
we're means, giving you health insurance, man. We're giving you health insurance up
so,
here.
So, yeah. Or just hit me up on Twitter. Let me know you're listening. Let me know if you like it. I mean, if there's stuff that you would change about it, let me know. I definitely like constructive criticism and feedback, and or just like stuff that you enjoyed, so we know what to touch on more. I love everybody who hits me up on Twitter about the podcast and being all supportive.
Hit us up. We love talking back to you guys.
I was telling Kevin right before we started that I started doing like these morning walks. I've been thinking about doing it for like a long time. I mean, I always wake up super fucking early and walk with the dog.
Uh-huh.
And I just I've been thinking for a long time to do like a live video stream while I do it, and just like a quick little 5-minute video, not the whole time
just,
I walk.
Just Carmen pooping.
No,
Carmine pooping.
No. Like just I mean, believe me, I do my walks because of what I get out of my walks.
Yeah.
So I'm not going to jeopardize that, but I will do like a short 5-minute video while I'm on the walk, kind of just like, you know, while everybody's waking up, getting you motivated to get your day started.
Like daily thoughts.
Yeah, just a little morning thing to get my day started and your day started, and just I don't know. I've been doing it for like a week, and I'll do it almost every day. I think that sometimes it's important to take a day off of those. Yeah. You don't want to overstay your welcome with live videos. But I'm doing it. I've been doing it for like a week, and it's going good. People are retweeting it for me. People are watching it, getting some views, some live views, and then people watch it later on Twitter and stuff. It's just really cool. So keep in touch on Twitter. I really do love it, guys. And I'm going to do some quick shout-outs here before we get the hell out of here.
And don't forget to cruise by the Too High McFly YouTube page. Check out some of our stuff on there. Thanks. Too High, T-O-O.
I'm going to go to –
You go there, buddy.
Hang on, making my shouts to let me do some Instagram shouts because we always do Twitter.
Oh, nice.
I don't want to neglect people.
Who's on Instagram?
KC Scannell.
KC,
thank you for joining the team here.
Thanks, buddy.
Let me see who else we got here. Give me a second, everybody. I gotta pull up my Instagram feed and get this out. Doo doo doo. Anyway. Sorry, buddy. Just give me a damn second.
Okay.
Twitter is way easier for me to go through and look and see.
I can't operate those things, man. There's just like too much. Just give me one. One, I got to check an update. If I got to update everything, and I just put the phone down and have a champion day.
Well, I think there are apps you can do all one on Twitter and stuff like that, but I don't know. Like I have people that follow me on Instagram that don't follow me on Twitter. Give me a second. Everybody that listened to last week's episode... shared the episodes and stuff like that. Thanks so much. And we're getting somewhere here. For a second.
And hey man, if you're throwing us some comments, why don't you shout out some of your favorite parts about the podcast, your favorite episodes, and things that you'd like to see more of again, or hear more of, and you know.
All right, here we go. Lady B. Lady B. It's Lady B, aka Bianca. Shout out! Thanks so much for liking the podcast.
Thanks, Bianca's.
Alicia Lee. I think I'm saying that right. Chris Trovador.
Chris Trovador. Thanks for listening.
One more. Let me go over here.
You can just hear Karin's crickets, bro. We don't even have crickets. Even the crickets are like, this is awkward.
No, it's just like I have to wait for everything to load because like this fuck. I gotta get like Wi-Fi in the garage now too. When the studio's all fucking done. At Ma_Marazzi,
Ma
aka Smurfin.
Smurfin.
Thanks so much for liking my live videos and stuff and joining the team here.
Smurfin all the way to Augustino's heart.
And yeah, thank you guys so much. I really appreciate you keep tuning in every week. And don't forget about benefitpackages.com. They're our official sponsor for now. So you're helping my podcast out. You're helping yourself out, getting your health right, getting your life right. You may not have to pay for health insurance. You may not have it and you don't know how to get it. Go hit up benefitpackages.com. They're healthcare professionals and they're going to charge you nothing. All you got to do is tell them that you came from Parishioners Podcast and you also get a free gift with it and you're going to get free services. So 1-800-356-3615. Once again, that's 1-800-356-3615. Go get yourself some health insurance. You may get a discounted or for free. Don't wait any longer. Take care of yourself.
Benefit
I'm almost 30 now, Kevin.
.com.
It's time to start fucking taking care of myself.
I'm 34. My teeth are falling out.
Well, you gotta have insurance too, bro.
I know.
Well, hit them up. Benefitpackages.com. 1-800-356-3615. Tell them Parishioners Podcast sent you. And thank you guys so much for tuning in. Kevin, thank you.
Hey, buddy. Thanks for having me back.
Thank you, listeners. And let's get the fuck out of here.
Let's do this.
I'm gonna go do an open mic. You wanna go?
I gotta go eat.
Yeah, you're gonna do that far by your house.
Oh, cool, baby.